look at Psalm 3 together this morning, I hope we'll see that it's a psalm that speaks about the peace of a believer at a time of disaster. When I was first looking at the psalm, I was going to call it the peace of a believer at a time of trouble. But as we look at the background to the psalm, we'll see it's more than trouble. It was a real disaster that faced David when he penned the words of this psalm for us. The peace of a believer at a time of disaster. I want us to look at those things in reverse order. So look at the disaster, look at the believer, and then look at the peace that this psalm speaks of. So the disaster David describes for us in verses 1 and 2. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. The inscription tells us that it occurred when he fled from Absalom, his son. And that's referred to in the second book of Samuel and chapters 15 and 16. In 2 Samuel 15 we read about this uprising of Absalom, the son of David. He was seeking to take the throne from his father. In 2 Samuel 15 verses 4 and 5 we discover that Absalom, as the people came to Jerusalem to see the king, to have their cases heard, Absalom would get in there first, and he would say, if only I was in charge, I'd make sure that everyone had a fair hearing. In verse 4 of 2 Samuel 15, moreover, Absalom would say, oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or case would come to me, then I would give him justice. And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Very successful in this policy of going and flattering the people and assuring them that he would make such a better ruler than his father, and he managed to steal their hearts. And so he gathers his followers and sends out spies throughout all the land of Israel and arranges for a signal to be given and for the sound of the trumpet. Then they can say that Absalom reigns in Hebron. And David's friends turn from him in this rebellion. It says in 2 Samuel 15 and verse 12, then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, one of David's chief advisors in his government. Sent for Ahithophel from his city, from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. How they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me, David said. And so there was this momentum, and it seemed as if David was going to be overthrown. What's David's response as Absalom seeks to grasp the throne from him? In verse 14 of 2 Samuel 15, David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or else we will not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. So David says, we've got to run out of Jerusalem to escape from Absalom. And so on leaving, verse 30, it says, David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went. And he had his head covered and went barefoot. Isn't that a sorrowful picture of David leaving Jerusalem, a broken man, a defeated man. All the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as they went. But if that was not enough, when David reached the top of Mount of Olives, there was someone there ready to curse him. We read of this man, Shimei, who belonged to Saul's family, who came out cursing David. says in verse 6 of 2 Samuel 16, he threw stones at David and at all the servants of the king, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said thus when he cursed, "Come out, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. So now you are caught in your own evil, because you are a bloodthirsty man." Saying, the Lord has done this to you, for your crimes against Saul. "Many are they who say of me, there is no help for God, no help for him in God." David's referring to that. These people are saying there's no help for him in God because God's brought this upon him. God's not going to deliver him from this. God has brought it upon him as punishment. This is the disaster then that David faces. His son rebels against him. His faithful advisor and counselor, Ahithophel, turns away and is treasonable. He's left to leave his city and escape. He's had stones and dirt thrown at him by someone who's cursing him in God's name. But this disaster, you see, reveals the source of David's peace. David's peace does not depend on his family. Does not depend on his friends. His peace does not depend on his career. It appears that his career as king has come to an end. Does not depend on his comforts. He has to leave Jerusalem. He doesn't leave it in a great train of kingly majesty. He goes barefoot. Takes virtually nothing with him. His peace doesn't depend on his comforts. His peace does not depend on his circumstances. We'll see that David's at peace. In the midst of all this disaster, David still has peace. I wonder if your peace, if your well-being is tied up with these things, family and friends and career and comforts and circumstances. They're all changeable things, as David's experience testifies to us. All those things can change in a moment. They can be taken from us. Will we then still have peace? How would you react to the loss of them? David reacted by writing this song. It's not a song that's filled with bitterness. It's not a song that's filled with misery and woe. It's a song of confident trust in the God who is I Am, the Lord. As we have it in capital letters in our Bibles, reminds us of the God Yahweh, Jehovah, the God who is I Am, the self-sufficient God, the all-sufficient God. The disaster, it reveals the source of David's peace. And David has this peace because he is a believer. It's the peace of a believer at a time of disaster. I just as well call him a truster. That's what we mean by belief. Belief means trusting. And in the midst of this disaster, David continues trusting in God. He believes and trusts in God. In the throes of this disaster, he continues to rely on God. That's why he can know peace in the midst of it all. He relies on God for protection. This is his statement of faith, is in verse 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me." We have these pictures, don't we, of in our science fiction films, in Star Wars or in Star Trek, people with a force field that's all around them that can protect them and nothing can get through. This is what David says of God. "You are a shield for me. You are a shield around me. My protection." And that's what literally when he says, for me, around me. You're a shield around me. I'm protected. This is a promise made to all believers, all trusters. Because this is what God promised to Abraham, who is the father of all who trust and believe. In Genesis 15 and verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." And the shield that God offered was better security for David than even his bodyguard. You notice when we read in 2 Samuel 16, when that chap was throwing stones and so on at David. He threw stones at David and all the servants of the king David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. David had this bodyguard on his right hand and on his left, his mighty men. But that was no protection against those stones of Shimei. And yet David has a greater protection, you see, a greater shield than his bodyguard. It's his God. You, O Lord, are a shield for me. And so David is confident that he's not ultimately going to be ashamed. You are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. He trusts in the Lord for not being put to shame or humiliated, because the Lord is my glory. The Lord is the one that David boasts in. He glories in the Lord. He doesn't glory in his position as king. He doesn't glory in his powerful domain, in his comforts and treasures. He glories in God. God is his boast. And that's why he's assured that he's not going to be ultimately humiliated. Well, this is certainly a humiliation. Ultimately, he knows, because his boast, his glory, his confidence is in God, he will not be ashamed. You are my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I think that's a lovely picture of God's tender grace. You can picture David currently with, he's downcast, his head is hung low, he's been weeping and he's overwhelmed. You can picture someone, can't you? If you can picture someone in that situation, and a friend comes sort of puts their hand perhaps under their chin and lifts up their head. Don't worry. This is the picture that God gives to David. He lifts up my head, expressing his grace and his sympathy and his ability to bring me through this time of humiliation. You are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Here again is David's trust. He believes that God answers him. In this situation, he prays to God, and he's confident that God hears. He's learned the lesson of Ahab and the prophets of Baal. Baal doesn't hear. Baal doesn't answer. He's no God. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. It's David's confidence. In a time of disaster, prayer is never wasted. God hears, and God answers. And this trust that David has in God comes from a relationship. He's established a relationship with this God. It's not something that he suddenly has to conjure up at this time of disaster. His trust in God is a result of this relationship that he has with God, by God's grace. Do we have such a relationship with God? But should disaster come to our lives, and these things that we've trusted in are taken from us, that we can speak of God in this way: you are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts up my head, the one who hears when I pray. Of course, we can only have such a relationship with this great and awesome God through the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. Only he can bring us into God's presence and offer, make us acceptable to God. And that was David's trust. Confident in the one that God had promised to be king. David's trust in God, born of this relationship, confident in God's care and keeping, even when disaster has struck. The disaster then, this rebellion of Absalom, and everything crumbles. It's a real disaster. And those disasters do happen to us, even if we are God's people, even if we have this relationship with God. These disasters do come into our lives. But David continues believing, continues trusting in the God he knows, the God who's proved himself for David in the past. And so, at this time of disaster, this believer can know peace. And that's described for us in verses 5 and onwards. I lay down and slept. Well, there's peace. There was a survey a little while ago done in the United States of America, and people were asked the thing they're most looking forward to, and they were given about 20 options. On top of the list, 70% of the people said they were looking forward to a good night's sleep. That's the thing that I'm most looking forward to, which was quite a surprise. But here we are, here's David, in the midst of this disaster. He says, I lay down and slept. He could sleep. His mind wasn't going, keeping him awake, wondering how to get through, what should I do? His sleep wasn't disturbed. He was able to lie down and sleep because he was at peace. We're reminded, aren't we, of Peter there after Herod has taken James, the apostle, and beheaded him. He then arrests Peter. And Peter's put in prison, and he's in prison for a while, and then Herod sets the date when he's going to kill Peter as well. And we read in Acts 12 that night Peter slept. An angel had to come and wake Peter up. Peter could sleep because he was at peace. Do you sleep well? Are you at peace? Do you have this peace that David knew? And it's interesting that it's on the very night that, of greatest danger. If you read the account in 2 Samuel 15 and 16, you see it was that very night when Ahithophel was recommended that Absalom should go that very night with the forces he could muster and get David that night. It was the night of greatest risk. And still David could sleep. Because he was confident in God. He says, I lay down and slept, I awoke. It's the normal routine. I lay down, I slept, I awoke. His routine wasn't disturbed. How can that be, David, in the midst of this disaster when everything's gone? How can you continue with your normal routine? I lay down and slept, I awoke, because the Lord sustained me. Translated elsewhere, this word sustained as upholds, gives support, allies themselves with. God is with me. That's David's confidence in this disaster. The Lord is there to uphold me, to sustain me, to give me support. And again, it's the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I Am. If the self-sufficient I Am is your support, you are invincible. That's the repeated testimony of Scripture. So in the book of Hebrews and chapter 13, we hear this glorious testimony. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. what can man do to me? Similarly, in Romans and chapter 8, we hear this glorious testimony. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And David's facing many of these things in that situation. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Again, it's a reminder that these things happen even to believers. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why David has peace. Because he's persuaded of God's love, God's presence, God's care. I will not be afraid, he says in verse 6, of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. See, faith sees evidence otherwise invisible. It's important to underline that faith, our faith is based on evidence. Not a leap in the dark. Faith is based on evidence. And faith enables you to see evidence that is otherwise invisible. We have that wonderful account in 2 Kings and chapter 6 of Elisha, Elijah's successor. And Elisha was able to give information about the king who was attacking the strategies of the king who was attacking Israel. And so the king of Assyria sends his armies to capture Elisha. And the servant of the Lord, the servant rather of Elisha, this king, here we are in 2 Kings 6 and verse 14, therefore the king of Assyria, he sent horses and chariots and a great army to the city of Dothan, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. See, by faith, Elisha could already see that. And that's why he wasn't afraid. We will not be afraid despite appearances. Faith can overcome that and be victorious. This peace then that David knows doesn't disturb his sleep. Because God is with him. God is upholding him. He can go through his normal routine because God sustains him. He's not afraid. And it's a peace that's produced by God's activity there in verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone, you have broken the teeth of the ungodly. It's an unusual picture, isn't it, of God giving someone the right hook, knocking their teeth out. You see, David is confident in God's activity. In this situation, David is not going to try and sort things out himself. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And that's David's, as we read through these Psalms of David, and you hear him crying out to God to judge his enemies, you must remember that that's what he's doing. He's asking God to take vengeance. He's not taking it into his own hands. He's asking God to deal with his enemies, as he has in the past. So often in a time of disaster, when we face trouble and difficulty, we pray to the Lord, and then we try and sort it out ourselves. Now David, he trusts in God. Arise, O Lord. Will you please deal with this situation? Save me, O my God. His confidence is in the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And that's really a complete contradiction to what was said in verse 2. See, many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. The word help is identical to the word salvation here in verse 8. So his enemies were saying there's no salvation for God. So there's no salvation for him in God. David said, salvation belongs to the Lord. There is salvation for me in God. There is deliverance. And that's his trust and confidence. Your blessing is upon your people. Again, that's a statement of faith. That's despite the circumstance. It didn't appear to be the truth in David's present situation when he penned these words, but that was his statement of faith. Because God's blessing is much deeper than our circumstances. God's blessing is much greater than our comforts, our families, our friends. God's blessing is an eternal blessing. Salvation is not just physical deliverance. The salvation that God gives is deliverance from all our greatest woes and enemies. Deliverance from sin and its awful consequences. Deliverance from death. Deliverance from hell. Salvation complete and full. This salvation is found in God and with God. And we can have the confidence as we trust him. He will save us. He will deliver us from our worst woes, from our deadliest enemies, the world, the flesh, sin, Satan, and hell. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And so here we see very clearly the peace of a believer at a time of disaster. Do you know that peace? Are you a believer? Do you trust in God in the way that David could in these circumstances? Do you know God the way that David did? That relationship that he had with God that could enable him to cling to God even when his circumstances were against him. Do you know this peace? It's only found in God. You won't find this peace anywhere else. It's only found in God, with whom salvation belongs, whose blessing is upon his people. Well, may each of us know this peace by God's grace as we trust him in whatever disasters might come into our lives and experience.